May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The day will come when, after harnessing space, the winds, the tides, and gravitation, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in the history of the world, we shall have discovered fire. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. This weekend, we are celebrating and remembering. We are celebrating the Feast of All Saints this morning, and later tonight, we are celebrating our parish family at our celebration dinner. I hope all of us will be together for this wonderful time. But first, this morning, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, the feast day where every year we remember all those who have died and gone on to the larger life in God. And we remember particularly today those of our congregation who have died in the past year. Look around you to the right and to the left. Their names are on the banners that are placed around the edge of our worship space. Take a look around. Remember them today. And remember all those who are with us today, not in bodily form, but in spirit. I invite you also to remember all those family and friends of yours who have died in the past. When we get to the Eucharist, I invite you to remember them, to give thanks for their presence in your life, perhaps offer up that thanksgiving to God during the offering today. The Reverend Ted Hackett, one of my professors in seminary, used an image when he taught us about the Eucharist that I find very powerful. He suggested that when the priest stands at the altar and prays the Eucharistic prayer on behalf of the congregation, we might visualize something like a great heavenly elevator going up and up and out and into the heavens from the altar, connecting us with all the saints and angels and with our beloved dead. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Our beloved dead are part of that company of heaven. And so every time we come together and celebrate the Eucharist, we are one with them in Christ. The gospel for the Feast of All Saints is always the Beatitudes. Found in three of the Gospels, and it's probably picked for All Saints because, as Cynthia Bourgeau says, it really is Jesus' teaching in a nutshell, or the core, most dense packed teaching of Jesus. So we're going to look a bit closer at a couple of these Beatitudes this morning. Blessed are you who are poor, it says in Luke, or poor in spirit in Mark and Matthew. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. In this beatitude, Jesus was not talking about a future promise, but a present reality. Blessed are those who remain in an inner attitude of receptivity and openness to God. If we are filled with ourself, our ego, our agendas, we cannot hear the still small voice of God. There's a story about a student coming to a renowned spiritual teacher wanting to learn. So the student sits down with the teacher in a little room, and the student starts talking and talking about everything that he has learned in the past. And as the student is talking and talking, trying to introduce himself to the teacher simply begins to pour a cup of tea. And the teacher pours and pours, and pretty soon the cup is overflowing, and the student stops and says, "You should stop pouring. Your cup is overflowing. It's full." And the teacher says, "And so are you. You are so full. How can I possibly teach you?" If we are filled with ourself, our ego, our own agenda, we cannot hear the still small voice of God. And so Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Blessed are those who weep now, or as it says in Matthew and Mark, blessed are those who mourn. When we mourn, we are vulnerable, and we are in touch with that which is deep and real. When we mourn, we are in a more receptive position to the Word of God. And Jesus goes on, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." What important words for all of us to hear as we approach this week what is perhaps the most contentious political election in our history. Jesus' teaching is centered on love and compassion for all. We are here this morning because we are followers of Jesus. If that is our primary allegiance, if being a follower of Jesus is the most important thing to us, then ultimately we have nothing to fear in this life. Yes, it does matter very much to all of us what will happen on election day. And we are certainly not all in agreement about what we want to happen. But there's no magic here for us. No human leader is going to save us. Our country is severely divided, and unfortunately, that division will not magically end after our next president is elected, no matter who that will be. As Christians, we are called to live lives of love and compassion. We are called to work for the greater good in society. We are called to hold on to hope. We are called to bring the energies of love into this broken world. One of Teilhard de Chardin's favorite verses was the end of Ephesians, which we heard this morning, that Christ, God has put all things under his feet, that is Christ, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Teilhard de Chardin, who was a scientist as well as a mystic, saw all of creation moving forward to unity in Christ, as he wrote these words, which I will quote once again. The day will come when, after harnessing space, the winds, the tides, and gravitation, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And on that day, for the second time in the history of the world, we shall have discovered fire. This is the fire of the Holy Spirit. Fear and hate are the opposites of love and compassion. The energies of fear and hate have been activated in our country during this political season to an extent that most of us, maybe none of us, have ever seen before. No matter what happens next Tuesday, there is much work to be done to heal the deep divisions that have surfaced. As Christians, our motivation must never be fear or hate. If we want to be faithful followers of Jesus, we have to do the hard work that is given to us. We have to strive every day to live our lives out of the energies of love and compassion. We have to strive to hold on to hope, to love our neighbors, as difficult as that can be. And yes, with God's help, even strive to love our enemies. But God is with us always. We are never alone. God's energies are energies of love and compassion. That's what Jesus came to teach us and to show us by the way that he lived his life and by the way that he gave his life for us. If being a follower of Jesus is the most important thing in our lives, then ultimately we have nothing to fear. Amen.